Hey guys, welcome back to The Real Estate Monopoly. My name is Kerwin Donis, and today I have an amazing guest, Vaina out of Seattle. Vaina, I want to dive into your story. You're one of the only fellow Gen Z real estate investors, and I know we were talking before. We have been sort of following each other since we both started our journey, so it's just about time for us to have this conversation. So yeah, give us a little bit of background on who you are, where you are, and what you've been able to accomplish in the short time you've been in real estate.
Sure thing. Thanks so much for having me on, Kerwin. I mean, it's been great watching you guys grow and kind of being aligned on this journey has been really cool. So me, I'm based here in Seattle. I started in the business when I was 18, 19. I got my real estate license. My whole goal was to get into it in order to eventually build a rental portfolio. Because when I was in high school, ultimately, I knew that I didn't want to work long term. I definitely didn't want a corporate job. I didn't want to work for someone else. I wanted to be free, you know, like you're only young once. I wanted to be able to have the time and freedom to do what I wanted. And I kind of saw real estate as an avenue to do that. So I got my real estate license instead of going to college, a really tough decision, you know, safe route versus taking the risk. But I was living at home, so there really wasn't much risk. I got the license. It took me like 6 months to get my first deal, but I was hustling every day. I was digging a lot into mentorship, using a lot of online free resources, got my first couple deals. And then I ended up selling like 14 houses here in Seattle in my first year. Second year, I doubled it. Third year, I did it again. And it was in 2021, when I was 20, that I got into wholesaling real estate. And so now wholesaling is a really big part of my business. This year, I'm 22, turning 23 in a few weeks. And my business is mostly wholesale. So I generate a lot of cash wholesaling and doing real estate agent business, and I pour it into the BRRRR strategy and house hacking. So that is my strategy for rentals. I figure if I can just buy one house a year, 3.5% down, rent out the rooms, because they're not cheap in Seattle. I got to do something to offset that mortgage payment. So I'm living in one room, renting out the other rooms. And if I just do that once a year for like 5 years, that's 5 rental properties in Seattle. Average rent is $3,000, not to mention that there's a lot of development potential in the properties we buy here. So we're building houses in the backyard, we're building attached units. And ultimately, my goal in the next 5 years here is 10 rental units for $3,000 a piece, which is $30,000 in monthly rental income. And so once those properties are paid off, that's $30,000 a month in my pocket passive.
There's so much I want to unpack there, but starting off, you mentioned that you made this pivotal decision. Is almost like a fork in the road moment for you, where you had to choose between pursuing a real estate license or going to college. I mean, you didn't necessarily have to, but I think it just made more sense for you and where you were. I imagine a lot of people struggle with that. I know we did when we were in college and we had to choose between that or like spending our time wholesaling and just like building that business and developing those initial skills in this real estate industry. Can you maybe expand on that? Like, what was your experience like, and why was that an obvious decision for you to choose real estate, being a real estate agent and pursuing that over pursuing the traditional college path?
Yeah, it's a funny story because as much as I'm privileged to have family in real estate who has basically told me my whole life, don't go to college since like third grade, you don't need to go to college. I still considered it because everyone else was going to college. Senior year, everybody's applying for college. All the counselors, everybody in school is telling you, you're going to go to college. You need to go get a degree so you can get a job eventually, right? No one's going to hire you if you don't have a degree. And this is like your safety net, right? Even, my dad's in real estate, my mom's not. My mom's like, you should go to college as backup plan, right? And I was like, yeah, but, ultimately, looking back, I kind of laugh at myself that it was so hard for me, like I said, I'm privileged that I kind of had the stepping stone to the real estate industry. And, I have a team now that I help get into the real estate industry. So it's really not about having connections. It's about, are you willing to work for it? Are you willing to take that risk? And I don't even see it as a huge risk to not go to college, because college has its own set of risks, right? College is no longer guaranteed a job like it did 20 or 30 years ago. College, it costs, right? It's really expensive. If I had the opportunity to go for free, I probably would have gone to college. But ultimately, I decided that I would rather take the risk on myself and start my own business and grind and figure out these skills than go the safe route.
Yeah. And so you chose wholesaling, which is what we also decided to do. And we learned so much. I've heard it referred to as the gateway drug of real estate. And I it's not because it's like the catalyst at the beginning of someone's real estate journey, but it's also such a great way to learn the beginnings and the fundamentals. And so, yeah, but like you've been in it, you said, I think, for multiple years now. I'm just curious because I know oftentimes people will pivot. I know we did, and we're no longer wholesaling, but I think it's so interesting when people choose to stay. I mean, I don't think there's just a right or wrong. So why did you choose wholesaling at the beginning, if you have anything to like expand on that I mentioned? But also, why are you, why did you invest and sort of keep your head down and focus on that business model rather than going to something else within real estate?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a big mistake that people who are new to real estate make is trying to do everything. If you're trying to wholesale and multifamily invest and creative finance and sub two and all these things, you're never going to get good at one of them. And for me, my first wholesale check was $80,000. So that alone tempted me to stay, right? Like if I can make that kind of money in that little time, if I can scale this up, we can create millions, right? So, you know, my philosophy is if you just get really good at one thing. And it's funny that you call wholesaling a gateway drug, because I agree, like it's an all around great thing. You learn sales, you learn how to analyze deals, you learn, you know, the discipline of going to work every day, you learn how transactions work, you create lots of connections in the industry with wholesaling, because you're the keeper of deals. So you get to talk to the big investors who are buying your deals. And you get to talk to the normal people you're wholesaling from. So I think all around, it's like a well-rounded strategy as far as building skills in real estate. I think that's a really good comparison.
Yeah. And you mentioned the team. You keep like referring to them. And I don't know, I might be wrong, but I have a theory that you've built a team of people you like and like your friends, which sounds awesome. I love it. This is like a kind of a double question. But one, how have you kind of scaled this wholesale operation? What does that look like today? You said building that discipline of showing up to work. So I imagine you've created this work environment that isn't necessarily just like a corporate job, but it has the similar accountability and maybe just like formality maybe a little bit. But also, what does that team look like? I'm curious, because right now I work with my brothers and we have partners who we work with, and we really like a lot of them depending on the business, right? But they're not necessarily like people I'm seeing on the day-to-day. It's more virtual. So can you expand on that? And are they like your friends or?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm so grateful for my team, and it honestly happened very naturally in my career. So like literally day one, when I was super new to real estate, hadn't closed shit, was still just focusing on learning. I was posting on my story, everything I was learning, my Instagram story. And you know, I'm 18, so it's all my high school friends. And this guy I knew from tennis just swipes up one day and he's like, hey, looks like you're making a lot of money in real estate. Like, I want to get in on this. And I wasn't making money, but I knew the opportunity of making money and kind of sold him on it. I was like, well, you know, we just need one house or one sale and we can make $14,000. And so he was like, let's do this. And he brought a friend and he brought a friend, and you know, eventually kind of turned into this little group of us who are all like teenagers just grouped up in this little office, and we're keeping each other accountable to come to work every day. We're doing the calls together. It was really good culture, and that really propelled us going forward. You know, we all talk now and we look back and we're like, oh, those were the good old days, right? And so the team, you know, definitely evolved, especially as I've kind of grown on social media. A lot of people reach out, they want to work with me, they want to, you know, get their feet wet in real estate, which I love, and I totally, you know, that's what I'm all about. I want people to get into real estate. I want people to invest. So now my wholesaling operation with my team kind of looks like I have, you know, my team is local here and they are calling every day for deals. They're prospecting, they're door knocking, they're sending out mailers. They do a lot of groundwork as far as finding the deals, because that is the best way. You know, you don't want like paying for leads, trying to JV with other people, whatever, you don't make as much as when you find the deal yourself. Plus for us, we're all, you know, buying deals. So when it's a really good one, we get to keep it for ourselves. We don't have to pay agents. We don't have to pay wholesalers. That's a really great part of it. So, you know, I've got the local team prospecting, and then I do send out mailers. I do get a lot of deals off of social media from other wholesalers and agents sending me deals. I work in the business quite a bit right now. I'm working on changing that for 2024, but I'm doing a lot of selling. I'm doing a lot of the closing. I'm handling the transactions. And, you know, here in Seattle, my average fee is $40,000. So I don't even need to do a ton of deals in a year to make $1 million. But yeah, that's the operation right now.
That's a sizable spread compared to other markets across the nation. And we've had on a multifamily investor who specializes in Seattle. So I know it's different, but he mentioned that there's like a trade-off that Seattle has this perceived like a reputation of being extremely liberal and resident friendly and you know, just not really favorable to a real estate investor. And but his like pivot to that, or his, the way he overcomes that objection when he gets that from his investors, his passive investors, he said that the resident base in that market is going to be more higher income earning and also just more stable. So you're going to see less turnover. And that kind of pivots to my next point, because maybe with wholesaling, obviously you have higher spreads. But I know you said that you are looking and you are in the process of building your rental portfolio, contributing to that. So has that proven true in your own experience with building your rentals? Have you seen that upside or that the benefit of investing in Seattle, where honestly, we had that misconception that it wasn't somewhere you'd want to hold property long term?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing, is Seattle, Washington is extremely tenant friendly. Like, I've got friends, we hear it every day. All of our friends are going through nightmares with tenants, evictions, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's something you have to deal with here, right? There is a demand for rental housing, and that's what kind of keeps us going. There's these incentives to develop and affordable housing and all that. I believe if you have a good rental product, you'll get good renters, right? And you want to take care of your renters and they'll take care of you. Don't be a slumlord. That's why personally, I do prefer to keep it very minimal, like just a few units, 10 units, right? That's all I need. I don't want to dive into the huge multifamily space because simplicity is important to me. I don't want to have a ton of partners. I want to own all my units outright, just for, you know, longevity. I don't want the headache, and you don't need to go through the headache. You know, if you want to scale up to $100,000 a month or $1 million a month or whatever, you're going to have to deal with it and you're going to have to put the systems in place. But, you know, my take is that keeping it simple can be very effective and it can serve you for what you want. Right.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's oftentimes, we've even learned this in our own journey, bigger isn't always better. And so you could definitely be arguably more successful depending on what your goals are and just really what you're looking to get out of it, by kind of focusing on the, what others might see as like just smaller and maybe not as good. But we're doing single family on the side right now. And so, you know, we've learned that lesson, and I'm glad that you seem to really have leaned into that. Yeah. So I know Burr, I believe Burr is a really focal point of your approach to investing. And you mentioned that you have this conveyor belt method when it comes to, like, you have a first look at a property in your own marketing. And I know Max Maxwell used to talk about that all the time. Like, you get the first pick when it comes to a lead, and like, you're like, okay, if this is the deal I want, then you have first dibs on it. And then if not, you can send it to your buyer's list. How has that Burr strategy, or maybe other rental strategies you've used, how has that contributed to where you are now? And I might be wrong, but I believe you are a real estate millionaire. So I would love it if you can kind of paint that picture.
I'm close. I'm not there yet. 2024, I will be. But I like Burr because, you know, even when I was in high school, I don't even remember how I stumbled across Burr in the first place. I think I was just reading like some Brandon Turner book or something. And it was talking about how you buy the property, right? You put 20% down because it's a fixer. No traditional lending is going to cover that. So you put the 20% down, you rehab the property, and now it's at a new value. So you can go back to the bank, like a traditional bank, now that it's in good condition, and they're going to give you, you know, 80% of what it's worth, and that refunds your original investment. So you're essentially in the property for $0. And I liked that, appealed to me, because you basically just recycle the money. Like, one of my mentors, she says she's ambitiously lazy, and I would agree. And so if you tell me that I just need to make the money one time and I can just recycle it again and again and again into properties, and ultimately, does it end that way, like perfectly every time? No. But for the most part, you get there. And you're creating equity. That's the biggest part that I like about Burr. You have to have like a 20% cushion in order to get your refinance. So like the property I bought it for $500,000. I put about $70,000 into it to rehab, and now it's worth $750,000. So that's like $180,000 in equity. And I'm not refinancing yet because I'm building another house in the backyard, which is going to create even more equity. But at the end of the day, because I do make a good amount of money, I'm not going to notice $500, $1,000 of monthly cash flow right now. My goal is to create lots of equity that's going to compound over time. I want to hold these properties for 20, 30, 40 years, my whole entire life, right? So this $180,000, as long as my property is doubling in value every 10 years, it's going to be 360 in 10 years, and it's going to be 720, and there's going to be $1,000,005. So that for me is the security, the cushion, the wealth that comes from BRRRR. And
I love it. I know. Yeah, that's awesome. And like earlier before you mentioned that you get a lot of DMs on your social media. That's initially how we met, like we mentioned. And we get a lot of these people reach out to us, and oftentimes we try to help. But I was just curious, because you said you've also worked with some of these people. One, how has social media really like impacted your journey in real estate? And is there a certain trait that you see that's common among the people that are actually successful versus the ones that reach out and don't really go do anything with the information?
Well, for sure. I love this one. Social media freaking changed my business. I don't know where I would be if I hadn't been posting my journey, showing people what I do, showing people how to get into real estate, why it's important to invest. I think I've impacted a lot of people. I get like paragraphs every day. Dana, thank you so much. Because of your content, I was able to get my first deal. I'm getting into real estate. What's your advice? You know, and it warms my little heart. But ultimately, I really want to help my generation create wealth, because no one believes in us, and it is possible for us with the internet and social media. So much more is possible, and this generation really is ambitious and driven to create futures for ourselves. We have seen previous generations fail. We see the debt that millennials are in. We see people, our parents, grandparents have lost their houses, and you know, Gen Z sees that we can do this. And so to be someone who's showing and leading the way is, you know, I don't take it lightly at all. And ultimately, you know, besides the heartfelt comments, I've done a lot of business off social media. I've created tons of connections. I've been connected to some of the people who I hold in the highest regard, like Thatch and Tatiana. I've been able to connect with these people and, you know, collaborate, show more people what's possible, reach more people. That's my biggest goal with social, is to just reach a bunch of people and get this message out of investing and creating a future for yourself. What I see in people who make it and who don't, I think there's a lot of things, right? And we could go on and on, but I think proactiveness is a big one, proactivity. They are actually going out there and seeking the sources, right? I get messages, you know, who are like, hey, I want to get into real estate. Can you help me? Will you mentor me? Right? Can you mentor me? Can you hop on a call with me and show me the way? And while I would love to hop on calls with every single one of these people, I would be 60 by the time I talk to everybody. So, you know, I do as much as I can to put out good information and hopefully reach these people. I've got a couple of groups and I do trainings every once in a while online. But ultimately, I think someone who is able to recognize where they're weak and then work on that by seeking out the resources, I think that's all you need. You know, a whole shit ton of discipline of going to work every day. Like I say, you know, the people on my team who've been with me for 3-4 years now, they have never missed a day or, you know, missed a week or whatever. They've never given up. They pound the phones every day. They pound their scripts every day. They want to be better. They see the results, and it motivates them to keep going. So I think that's the biggest thing.
No, that's such a refreshing perspective on like our generation. You seem to have a very optimistic outlook on it. And we're oftentimes like, especially with a lot of the content I consume. Yeah, no, I mean, facts, like maybe you were a little biased, but you know, like, but I do think like a lot of people look at us as like, we're lazy, not driven, like, you know, you know, just involved in the wrong things, worried about the wrong things, victim mindset. And so, yeah, like all my friends in my circle, like we're all wanting to be hunters, right? We're hunters. We're aspiring to become the next generation. And so I really love that. I think that that's really cool. Have you had any encounter with like that negative perception of Gen Z, particularly from more experienced people? And I think that also will maybe leeway into the next point, because you also mentioned you have a mentor. And you, before the call, you recently came back from a Tony Robbins event. And so these are environments where like you're typically the youngest in the room. We've had that oftentimes, pretty much any conference we're at. We're like, definitely the most on the younger side, right? So yeah, like how has that played out? I'm just curious.
Well, as far as negativity from Gen Z, that's the thing, is that Gen Z has enough people telling us that we're screwed, we're not going to make it, we're ruining America, whatever. And so it really is up to people like you and I to pave the way, right? And you guys put out great content, you're doing great things, and you're a great example.
Well, yeah, like honestly, it was kind of more of a direction to take the conversation more than a question, but it was A, like how has your perception from those maybe older people in the industry, has that like, I know for us, it's been a positive thing. People are always like, oh, I wish I started at your age. But I don't know if you've ever experienced it. Like they're just assuming that you're not as capable, or they question your credibility as a result of how young you might look, or, you know, that, but also with your mentor, like I think that's an interesting dynamic. We have mentors, we've had mentors, but they're obviously older. So yeah. I mean, like you want to maybe tie in the mentorship and maybe the importance of that to make up for the youth.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, because people, you know, I make a lot of videos with like Thatch, right? And people say, well, how'd you get connected to Thatch? How can you introduce me, whatever? And really, I think earning any kind of mentorship, I always say mentorship is either paid for or earned, right? Like I paid to be in Thatch's group, but I did also earn his attention, because if I paid to be in the group, but I didn't do anything with the information, he doesn't care. He's not going to pay attention to me. He sees that I'm not interested in growing myself and kind of going along with what the program teaches, which is freedom, financial freedom, and leveling up and everything. But because I took what they're teaching, I implemented it, and I created a result, obviously that's just going to take notice and be like, oh, okay, Vaina's doing something. She's, you know, she deserves my attention. I see that she wants it, and I want to help her get more. And when I mentor people, it's the same exact thing. They could have zero sales, but if I see that they are hopping on the calls every single day and they are going to events and they're, you know, going to the things I invite them to, and, you know, I say, oh, come here at this time, blah, blah, because it's going to help you, and they show up, that is how you gain a mentor's attention. And that's the best thing you can get, because ultimately, they don't get much. Well, they do get much out of helping you. But if you're kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like if you're in that.
If it's a symbiotic relationship and they benefit from it as well, I think that's the best way, especially because it like subverts. This is what I was looking to touch on, is when you show up and you're able to bring value to somebody who's older and more established and experienced, it like subverts maybe the subconscious expectation they had of who you were. And like, you know, I think it stands out more like compared to someone their age. If you're able to do that and you're younger, it's like, that's just even better.
Yeah. Rich people and people who are at the top, people who have success, who have what you want, they want to help you. They are very, you know, maybe not like outright. If you just say like, I want to do this, they don't care. But if you prove that you want to do this, they see probably a bit of themselves in you, and they want to give you value back so that you can, you know, have success and make the world a better place. It's about giving back, especially once you've made it, you know. That's why there's so many people out there. And unfortunately, this guru culture, if you will, has kind of marred that whole thing of there's people who say they give back, but they're really just selling you a course. But then the people who are actually giving back, there's a reason, right? They want to see future generations take the wheel.
Yeah. And so there's two kind of final points I want to touch on. But first, the first one, you mentioned your team, and it's the importance of like having those killers on your team. My brothers and I, we literally will go to like the park, in the car, we're having masterminds all the time, just talking, having really good conversations, not just about our business, but like life and entrepreneurship, and maybe even real estate specifically. It can be lonely at this age, like not to be, you know, presumptuous, but I think it's safe to say that there's not many of us that are looking to do what we're looking to do at our age. And as a result of that, like, I know we look to be kind of protective of that. And we've been blessed with a good friend group here in this area that are all young entrepreneurs, real estate investors, or like some involvement in real estate. That has been such a blessing, such a crutch, because it can be so lonely and isolating. Have you built that, or what advice do you have to somebody who might find themselves? I've met people at conferences. Sorry, I'm like tangent, but I've met people at conferences that are like young and they are all alone in their market. They don't really know anyone their age. And yeah, it's one thing to have like a mentor or maybe somebody who's older, but you know, you need like somebody that's in the trenches with you your age. So can you maybe just touch on that?
I agree. And it's probably only now that I realize that I have had this parallel of people my age close to me, but also having mentors that, you know, we all follow and kind of, I draw from the mentor and then I take it to my team, right? And this has been a big piece of advice that I've been giving out recently is if you want to be in a circle of people who are, you know, have a similar mindset as you, they want to grow, they want to get better, they want success, create your own. Right? If you are not ready to claw your way into someone else's, create your own. Go find the 2 to 3 people. They're out there. There is a serious group of people, you know, Gen Z, millennial, even older generations who want to create a future for themselves and they are willing to do what it takes. You know, there's a lot of BSers out there. There are a lot of people who are going to say, yes, I want to do this. I'll show up for the 8 a.m. accountability call every day. And then they don't show up, right? And you can't dwell on that. Definitely do, like, have the, have the wherewithal, if you will, to filter those people out and recognize that they don't want as much as you do, and then go find the next person who will. And create your own group of a few people who are showing up, whatever it is, weekly accountability, daily accountability, you know, book club, freaking prospecting club, whatever it is that will propel you to your end goal, and do it together, right? Because if you're doing it together, that's going to take you miles further than if you were to do it alone. And then combine that with mentorship, combine that with attending events together, create your own events, go out and seek the education, because that's what it boils down to. If you know enough and then you implement it, you'll get what you want. Like, you'll get there. There's no way you don't.
Yeah, that's something we've been, I can't really speak for my brothers, but something I've been sort of like wrestling with is, you know, on the pursuit of going to the quote unquote top, right? It could be lonely, like I said, but also like, I wouldn't want to get to the top by myself. You know, I want to have people with me. So I think that's why it's important to sow those seeds at the beginning, like nurture those relationships. Not only do relationships take time, but I think when you're going through the adversity and the challenges of the entrepreneurial journey to reach your goal, that is how, like, diamonds are created under pressure, right? Like, that is when the real strong relationships are formed, is through that adversity. And so, yeah, that's such an awesome opportunity to like start it at the beginning. And then, you know, once you get to the top, like you'll really have earned it together. And I think that's awesome. You don't want to be alone there. So.
Oh yeah. That's why I always say, I never advocate for paying for courses. I think you can learn everything online for free. I think what you pay for is direct mentorship, coaching, and community. Paying to be in a group that is propelling you is going to be worth it way down the line. You know, people who have been where you are, they can speak exactly to the problem you're having, that you feel unmotivated today, that you don't know what to say, that you feel like you can't do it, whatever it is. People who have been through that, gotten over that hump, and can speak from a real place of relating to you and where you're at, that just collaboration is going to help you get through all those limiting beliefs and get you to where you want to go.
Yeah. So as we approach the end, I did want to give some kind of like overarching blueprint for someone who maybe looks up to you on social media and just wants to know, like, if you could give them like a, and of course this is going to be very, very high level, but some kind of blueprint or quick overview of steps they can take to reaching the real estate millionaire status that you are, you know, going to reach next year. What would you say to that? Or like even to your own people that I know you have a community, like the people that are new in that community, what kind of general guidance do you give?
I like it. I feel like, you know, I think this has been a great time and you're asking great questions. And overall, we've been very conceptual, right? And I do like to get into the technical nitty gritty. I do a lot of that on my social medias, on TikTok and YouTube and everything. My blueprint for creating wealth in real estate, right, is get into sales. Sales is a high paying job. Even if you're in corporate, that's fine too. But you need a high paying job. In my opinion, and for the strategy that I run and teach, you need to make a lot of money. And just because, you know, in the end, money's always gonna help, right? Having reserves, having capital to buy your own assets, make a lot of money. I teach wholesaling, right? So finding ugly houses, contracting those houses with the homeowners and selling those contracts to investors. Highly recommend networking with wholesalers in your market so that you can have someone to JV with. Like here in Seattle, it's very clear to everyone. And I do monthly trainings where I let anybody and everybody come into my office and learn what wholesaling is so that they know that I'm a resource to help them close their first few deals. So find someone to do your first few deals with, get sales, and then start researching your investing strategy, right? Look at what areas are the best in your market, how much those properties go for, what the mortgage payment is, what the monthly rent is. Can they cash flow? Will you have to eat some cash flow every month in order to create wealth or, sorry, equity? Just get out there and make a lot of connections. Talk to contractors, talk to lenders. Get, you know, the more, I think ultimately, instead, more than like individual conversations you have, being in the community and just having people who can connect you to other people, that's going to help you really immerse into the world of real estate, and it'll just happen, right? Like as long as you are talking to the right people, building connections, working on yourself daily, you're going to find the result. It's just, it's all going to fall into place.
Yeah. That was great. Yeah. Robert Kiyosaki, I know in the past has said that the number one skill, I think, that contributes to success and wealth is sales. So I completely agree with that. And also I like how you mentioned the importance of networking. Even if we don't know, like we'll be able to either receive value or bring value to someone in that moment, like we've later used them down the road, or we've been able to bring value to them down the road. So yeah, I like that approach to like just leaning into relationships, community, and not really having this idea of it being super transactional because this is such a long-term business. So yeah, that's awesome. Vena, you shared a ton of wisdom today. If there's any other like final piece of advice that you'd want to leave someone with, what would that be?
Man, I feel like I dropped everything I've got today. But you know, I will say on the networking piece, getting into this, I was very introverted. I was very shy. I didn't know how to talk to people. I didn't know what to say. I didn't feel like I deserved to talk to people who are further than I am. But ultimately, networking isn't this, you know, I kind of put it on a pedestal, I guess. And I was like, I have to network, right? I have to rub shoulders with rich people. I have to give something up in order to get into these people's circles. I can't be myself. I have to be somebody who is worthy of, you know, talking to these people, which is partly true. I do have to be somebody who's worthy of talking to these people, but you don't have to be at any specific level. I think if you have the mindset of someone who wants to grow and who wants to learn and who's open to coaching and hearing what people have to say, who are, you know, miles beyond you, that is all it really takes in order to start building those connections one by one. And ultimately, you know, networking looks like a scary thing, but it's very, like you say, symbiotic, where it benefits everybody involved and it creates culture and it creates community. So don't be afraid of networking and don't be afraid to put yourself out there, because people will tell you no. People are assholes. There are a ton of people in this industry with huge egos who are going to tell you can't do it. They're going to tell you like you need to buy their course first in order to be anything successful, but that's not true. So trust your gut on who aligns with your values and visions and follow that.
No, I agree. There's a lot of jerks out there, but I will say a majority of them are good. Absolutely. Sure. And I agree. Like we had that imposter syndrome at the beginning, but yeah, it's so important to just not let that become like, it's a myth, but don't let it become fact. And even if you are like a beginner, a novice, that won't remain true for long if you take action. So yeah, I really appreciate all the awesome knowledge you dropped today, Vena. If anyone like wants to learn more about you, follow you on your journey, or access any of the resources you offer, where can they go to find out more?
Most of my stuff is on my Instagram. Just search me up. I don't have a common name or anything. So Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, that's where I am the most.
Awesome. Thanks so much for your time, Vena. I really appreciate it. It was awesome talking to you. And thanks everyone for tuning in today to the Real Estate Monopoly. Let's get out there and take action, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you so much.